So today we're speaking from Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Here's Pastor Ashley.
So we are doing this still. This is the final armour of God today. And we're going to be talking about the sword of the Spirit. And it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's from Ephesians 6:17. We've done so far, obviously, we've done the belt of truth, which is what holds the entire armour together. We did the breastplate of righteousness, which protects our righteousness that God gives us through his son, Jesus. And we've had the shoes ready with the gospel, and we all saw my appalling fetish to sneakers. And we need to be ready for an answer wherever we go with the word of God. We've talked about the helmets of... Hey, look, there's words on that page. We've talked about the helmet of salvation, which protects our mind. And we've talked about the shield of faith, which defends our faith. It brings peace and it brings fearlessness. So today we're actually going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. And there are so many angles and ways that the enemy comes to attack us. And if we only have one part of that armour or two parts of the armour, there's other places where he can stick a jab or throw a dart. So it's really important that we put on the entire armour of God. And the sword rounds off the armour. The sword is offensive as well as it is defensive. And I love God using, I'll just go back to this slide, God using a Roman soldier to describe the protection that he gives us. Have a look at that dude. Who's going to take him on? It's up there too, mate. It's all right. Have a look at that guy. Who's going to take him on? Nobody. Sorry, for me it's up there. Who's going to take on that guy? It's an amazing thing. And I think that's why God uses that, because he is incredible. But let me give you a little lesson in swords today. Roman soldiers carried many swords and weapons on them, and one of the ones they carried was a puggio, or puggio, all right? And this was never actually part of the armour. It was more of a dress thing, but they all wore it. Now, this was to protect yourself from any contingency that might happen. And it actually was an assassination weapon. So it was so small, and you could just walk up to people in the crowd and give them one of those. And it is exactly like a dagger. Well done. That's exactly what it is. So it's a dagger. It's probably about that big. So it's not very big. And they would conceal. It was a concealed weapon. It was actually the knife or the sword or the dagger that was used to kill Julius Caesar. So there you go. So that's the puggio. And then they had the spatha. Now, this is the one we think of, you know, that big, big sword that used to swing around and fight with. Now, that was more of a sword where you were going to take on a one-on-one challenge from across. You'd head at each other. You could see your enemy, and you had a good time swinging that around and trying to hurt people. But not very practical because it was so big. That sword was about a metre long and weighed about 4 kilos. So you've got to be a pretty strong bloke to be wielding that, don't you? The one we talk about is the gladius. Now, this is a sword that all the Roman soldiers would have used, and they always led into battle with this one. It was their fighting sword. It was for hand-to-hand combat. So this is for things that were up close and in your face, but where there's more people around you. And the reason this was a good sword, it was 60 centimetres long, probably only weighed a kilo, but you could have it behind your shield, so you could lead with your shield for protection, and then it could come out from the side, and it was a good fighting sword. It was double-edged, so it could attack both ways. You could swing it. This thing was built to make damage. It had a long, sharp point on it, which was made for piercing armour, which is also very handy. This is a pleasant start, isn't it? Welcome to church. This sword was later to be known as the sword that conquered the world. And I think the parallel with that in the Bible, of what the Bible does in this world, it conquers things, doesn't it? Overcomes things. And I think that's why Paul used the gladius as the sword of the Spirit. And I believe, I just said that it's linked to why to the Bible because of that. It's defensive as it is attacking. And I just wondered today whether anyone in this room really knows, and I wish I had my Bible. I meant to bring my Bible and I didn't bring it. I have to wave my phone around, which is over there, so I can't even do that. Oh, it's all right, mate. Oh, thanks. Here's my Puggio Bible. It's concealed. I wonder if we know, seriously, the power of the Word of God, the power that's in the Bible. You know, the words within the Bible are for healing and hope and faith, strength and salvation, instruction and direction, just to name a few. Yet, I don't think we use it enough or correctly. A guy called the Very Reverend Thomas Guthrie. Now, you've got to be Reverend, Very Reverend, don't you? Like, how's that? He's got to be Super Reverend or something. So The very Reverend Thomas Guthrie said this: the Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It's a guidebook for every road, a chart for every sea, a medicine for every malady, which is a sickness, and a balm for every wound. Robbed of our Bible, and our sky has lost its sun. What an incredible thing. The Bible, and probably a bit of a trim on his sideburns. The beauty of the Bible is it's written by kings and princes, by poets and wise men and philosophers and fishermen and highly educated people. It was also written by people who were in exile and in jail, by people in shepherd's tents and in green pastures, rich, poor, happy, sad, lost, saved, and slaves. All penned words that are in the Bible. But behind every word was God, who gave every letter, every word, and every full stop came from God, which is an amazing thing. And I've got to move my Bible. Oh, sorry. This is not merely a book to read by itself, but it's life. It's how we live our life. And everything that we are and everything we need comes from within these pages. Matthew 4:4, as Acacia read out, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Everything that we need in life comes out of the word of God, the sword of the spirit. And you need to listen to this. Bread will let you exist until you die, but the word of God gives life for eternity. What an incredible thing. So we can feed our faces and one day we will die, but everything that's in the word of God is for eternity. It'll help us to live for eternity, which is brilliant. It's the final element of the armory of God, and I think it's the most important. I said at the start of the series that the belt of truth is what connects all the armor together. But the sword of the Spirit is one thing that is an offensive weapon. Without the sword, we are just battering rams. If we don't have a sword, we run into battle just hitting people, don't we, with our bodies and our shields. But the sword is what helps us to win. Paul defines the sword of the Spirit as the word of God in Ephesians 6:7. And this isn't the only place it's described as a sword. In Hebrews 4:12, it almost also makes reference to it. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So it's a pretty amazing thing that God's given us to live our lives by. The word of God is even sharper than the gladius, there's no doubt about it. And it's capable of piercing the deepest levels of the hearts and attitude. And it's also a tool of discernment in the hands of a skilled user. It gives rise to two questions. Is the sword of the Holy Spirit only for the use as an offensive weapon? And number two is who and what is the foe against the sword for it to be used? I'm really sorry, I'm struggling with my elbow if you're wondering why I'm cringing. The sword is also for defence. While the gladius was primarily offensive weapon available to the legionnaires, it's also invaluable for defence, using it to parry. So people would come at them and with the big handle on it, they could knock away the oncoming swords and that sort of thing. And look at... Also, is the word of God valuable for defending against spiritual attack? Look at when Jesus was tempted by the devil up on the hill, and I'm going to go through this story. When he was tempted, Jesus shows how valuable it is to know the word of the Bible and have them deep inside us for when we're attacked by Satan, as he was. In Matthew 4, it says this: then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And now the tempter came and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. See, Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He was under no illusions about who Jesus was. He knew that. But he came and his first attack was, if you are the Son of God. So what's he doing? The first thing that Satan's doing is trying to put doubt in his mind, isn't it? And the dependence on the Father and the realization that he was there to do the Father's will. But Jesus just used the word of God against the devil. I love it, he says. He answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, as our scripture said. Satan then continued the attack. And he said, the devil took him up to a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge over you, and in their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. This time the devil comes at him with scripture. We heard Alan Meyer today called him a creepy coot or something like that. The devil, seriously, we don't need to fear him, but we need to be aware of him. He's very clever. He's using the word of God against God to try and trick God. What a dog. Jesus saw through the tactic and answered again, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." So Jesus defended himself again with the word. And Satan made one more final attempt. He said, "Again, the devil took him up onto an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, and said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" Now, how is Satan going to give him all that? Satan places all the cards on the table. The point of these attacks is to have Jesus worship Satan instead of God. And again, the final answer in the next verse comes from Scripture. It says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" It's an incredible... Can you just picture that battle for a minute? Up on a mountain, looking over everything, Satan's using the word of God at him. He's trying everything just for him to get and bow down and worship him. Isn't that what Satan does to every one of us? And I'm not saying he takes us up onto a mountain and he, you know, asks us to turn rocks into bread. But does he say, "Hey, instead of reading the word of God, how about we play another hour of PlayStation? Or how about we don't go to church this Sunday, we go and play football instead?" Doesn't he always try to draw our mind away from the things of God? And that's what he does. Jesus clearly knew that the word of God would always outweigh the attacks of the enemy. Jesus used the words skillfully to parry and deflect all of Satan's attacks, like the gladius. He wielded his sword with more confident power than the Roman soldier. And I'm quite sure this sword is far sharper. What strikes me is the absolute confidence in his answer. There is no doubt, no fear of this enemy, because Jesus knows who is boss, and that's where we need to be. We need to have no fear and no doubt about who we serve and who we worship. We need to have the confidence in our Saviour. It's interesting that the devil always try to attack at our most vulnerable, always. He doesn't come when you're in a strong... He would not come while you're sitting here worshipping God. He knows that this place is not a place for him to come. But let's say a week or two down the track, you haven't been to church for a while, you're feeling a bit down, you know, you're looking at things maybe you shouldn't or whatever. That's when he comes. When you're at your weakest, when you're at your lowest point, he slithers in and he tries to stick those swords in under your armour. Yeah. And he did that with Jesus, didn't he? He knew he hadn't eaten for 40 days. Who hasn't eaten for 40 days? Anybody in this room? You haven't eaten for 40, 40 minutes is a bit more like it. You know, 40 days, imagine how weak you'd be. And that's when he comes. And that's when he knew Jesus would be at his weakest and most vulnerable. When we know the word of God, we will recognize when attacks come and have wisdom to deflect it. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." And likewise, Luke 21:15 puts it this, like this, "I'll give you words of wisdom that none will be able to contradict." We need to get the word of God into us. When these trials come, we can speak the word of God to overcome this thing. What a great promise. Look at it this way. Many of us have had people tell us we can't do something. We're not as smart as somebody. Or we've been picked on or bullied. When we know what God thinks about us, then, and what the word of God says about it, there's nothing we can't achieve. Then that wisdom will conquer any of our adversaries' comments and put downs. My mouth isn't working. Can I just read out a few things that God says about us through his word? And know this, these words are for all of us. They're not for some. They're for everyone. Every single person in this room can take something out of these words that the Bible speaks over all of our lives. One I got a lot when I was young was when people told me I'd never change. You know, you're this or you're that. You never change. So I can read this and I can throw this sword at them. "Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. Start swinging that sword at people when you're feeling like you don't measure up. And what about when you're having doubts or you're afraid about something? Throw this at them. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That is awesome. We don't need to fear. We have all the strength we need in God. And when the enemy tells you that you can't, you can pierce his heart with this little beauty. "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." You can do all things because Christ will give you the strength. I know I've said it before, but if God is for us, who can be against us? There is no one. I'll turn my phone off. When you feel like you never get through a hard time, remember this. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What an amazing him, the man who created the universe, loves us. We can do all things. And I believe there's nothing we cannot overcome if we just have these truths in our heart. Use them against the enemy, which is not always the devil. Sometimes it's your workmate, sometimes it's your neighbour, dare I say it. Sometimes people in church tick you off too. And you need to be able to go back to the Word of God to overcome these things. And I know for a fact there are people here who deal with disappointment regularly, and the Word of God is designed to get you past them. In Alpha, we've been talking about the Bible in 1 year up. Now, I think this is an amazing thing. If you struggle with reading, and I'm not talking about physically being able to read, but physically just not, you struggle to read. You don't have the time to read it. You struggle to sit down and find time to read your Bible. Get the Bible in 1 year app. Put your headphones in. Wherever you walk, wherever you drive, if you're on a train, whatever you're doing, have the Word going in. Put it in your ears when you go to bed at night, because you know what's happening? Subliminally, that Word is going into your heart. It's going into your spirit, and it will be stored there. And you know, when these attacks come, it'll be inside you and it could be ready to come out. If you struggle to read, get the Bible in 1 year up, because it is an amazing thing. If you don't have the Word in you, you can't use it. You can't use something you don't have, do you? Can you? No. You know, me and Anna just bought a house, and that's a bit of a door-upper, right? Now, and I say that in all modesty, it is a massive door-upper. But we bought this house, and there are things I know I can do. Absolutely no doubt about it. I can build stuff and make stuff, and Anna's looking at me like, yep, I can. But you know what? I can't, because I don't have the tools. I can see the things that can happen. I can see the things I want to make change to. But unless I've got the tools, I can't do a thing about it. I know what's right for my life. I know what God wants for my life. If I don't have His Word in my spirit, I can't make any change. You need that Word of God in you. So you need to get the Bible in you. Because at some stage, you'll definitely need to pull it out like the gladius. The Bible is like a multi-tool, isn't it? It's for all situations. You need one toolbox, and it comes with a little brown thing that's about that big and lots of pages in it. It's a multi-tool. Put on the whole armour of God. Truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, peace, and the Word of God. Make this your daily routine. Make this something you do before your feet touch the ground in the morning, or at least before you leave the house. Make sure you cover yourself with the Word of God, His truth, His righteousness, His love, His peace, His faith before you walk out, and there's nothing you can't conquer, I guarantee you. So let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for these truths, Father God. I thank You that You have set us free through Your Son on the cross. And I thank You, Lord, that You give us the tools to protect our lives, Father God. Lord, we love You and we thank You so much that You love us, Father. I pray today, Lord, that as we go out through this week, we put on the full armour of God and know that You're with us in everything that we do. And we pray for these in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome.